You can be seated today. We have a grandbaby on the way, and it was due last week, so it's overcooking right now, and it'll be prepared sometime. I think the baby's 8 to 9 pounds right now, so he'll be half grown by the time he's born. Still haven't decided what he's going to call me. The reason is, on the American side, Armenian side, there's totally different names you use. Jasmine is called Metz Mama. Metz means big. She's going to be Big Mama. Come on, somebody. Our grandmama. Grand, it means grandmama. She asked, what are you going to eat for lunch? All right, let's all stand up today if we would. Let's all stand up. We started a series on renewing your mind, and I'm going to talk to you today why. Why should you renew your mind? Sometimes we tell you what to do before we tell you why you need to do it, and I found that it helps you to know why you need to do something first. That's why people need to know that until they know they are a sinner and that they are lost, they're not going to know they need a Savior or to be found. And you've got to have the Lord show you sometimes. Sometimes you come in. So today I just want to talk to you why you need to renew your mind. We talked about be transformed by the renewal of your mind, but I want to talk to you why you need to be transformed, why you need the renewal of your mind. We'll talk about that. Romans 12:1 says, it says it somewhere. There it is. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this. Everybody say conformed. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may know and discern what the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And so I want to talk to you today. This will be number two. And the idea is why you need to be transformed by the renewal. Why you need to renew your mind. Father, today I ask you to open our eyes, open our ears. Let us receive from you. I just pray, teach us, Lord, of your ways that we can know and change, Lord, different than this world. Lord, let us understand and by truth, know the truth, and the truth will set us free. In Jesus' name. Everybody shouted a good amen today, would you? Amen. All right, you can be seated today. The Bible says you have two options. One is to either be transformed or be conformed. And if you're conformed, you literally become like the world. If you're transformed, you become like Jesus. I told you, the devil steals the word. He's the terminator. Jesus plants the word. He's the germinator. He brings and plants into your life things that germinate, begins to make a difference. The word transformed means how a caterpillar is turned into a butterfly. We looked at that. And then we saw that it was a continuous verb. In the Greek language, transformed is not a one-time, something that happens. In the Greek language, it was a continuous verb, they call it. That meant something that happens over and over. So your transformation didn't take place one time and that was it. It takes place every week, every day of your life. You are being either conformed or transformed. Continue. Then the second thing, it's also a passive verb in the Greek language. If you know what that means, that literally means it's not something you do, it's something you allow. You don't transform yourself. You don't say, I'm not going to cuss no more. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. You don't do that. You do something, though, that makes that happen. You're like the farmer that plants the seed. You prepare the conditions, and then it happens by the power of God. A farmer plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. And so what happens in your life is you literally renew your mind, and by doing that, that is how you are transformed. You do not transform yourself. Transformation is a byproduct of you renewing your mind. You don't change yourself. You do something else. You renew your mind, and by doing that, you produce the transformation that you want. So we talked about that a little bit last week about what happens. Now, today, and I've learned this, that God teaches us many things by situations, circumstances of our life. The disciples, when they were with him, the Bible says they went through different situations, and they saw miraculous power of God, yet they didn't learn the lesson that God was trying to teach them. Every circumstance is a teaching situation. Every miracle is a teaching situation. It's not just for you to be wowed by it. It's for you to learn by it and therewith grow in wisdom and knowledge of the ways of the Lord. And so we're going to talk about that. I want to talk to you about the situations in your life and how God uses them to teach you about Him and about you. I don't know about you. I've learned this. I would never know I was not long suffering unless God gave me something to suffer over for a long time. How can you know that you're long suffering unless you've got something that you can suffer over a long time? That's just a thought I'm having this morning. All right, in the Old Testament, there was a story I want to kind of use as a springboard today of a situation when a man was faced with a situation that was absolutely impossible. Because we're dealing with your mind today. We're dealing with why you need to renew your mind. Because your mind is contrary many times to the mind of Christ. The Bible talks about our mind quite a bit in the Bible, and we'll talk about it. In 1 Kings chapter 3, let me illustrate it with this story. The king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Judah was Jehoshaphat, and he was probably one of the most righteous kings in the Old Testament. The only fault he had, he kept going to war with these unrighteous kings, and he got himself in trouble. How many know a bad company corrupts good morals? How many know you can do it all right, but you get on the wrong boat, you're going down with the people on that boat? And the Bible says Jehoshaphat went with the king of Israel and the king of Judah and the king of Edom. They fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the hosts and the cattle that followed them. And they said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." Now get this. They're out of water. They're about to die of thirst. And they pray to the Lord. And the Lord says this, make the valley full of ditches. And the Lord says, you shall not see wind. Now thank your mind. Your mind wants facts. Your mind wants to figure it out. Your mind wants to know, how is this going to happen? Okay, God, you're going to do this, but how are you going to do it? And God said, well, let me tell you something. I'm going to do it, but your mind is not going to get any help whatsoever believing it's going to happen. I'm going to do it, but your mind is going to be absolutely stripped of every reasonable assumption it can come up with of why it's going to happen. Your mind is looking for wind. Your mind is looking for rain. Your mind is looking for clouds. Your mind is doing all these things. Practically, how is this going to come to pass? God says this. Says your mind is not going to get any help. You're not going to see wind. You're not going to see rain. Yet the valley will be filled with water. You may drink both you and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a what? This is but a light or little. This is but a light thing in the sight of, that meant it really wasn't heavy to God. That meant it was really not heavy. You ever had a little child that's trying to pick up something and it's just too heavy for him? But for you, it's a light thing. You just go over there and you pick it up. And God comes and tells these three kings, what I'm telling you is your mind is not going to have any help in this. Your mind is going to tell you it's not going to happen. But I don't know how God did it. Maybe he pumped it in. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Maybe he broke a dam somewhere along the levee down in New Orleans and he flooded the land down there. And we don't know what happened, but God did. But he said, your mind is not going to help you in this. Don't rely on your mind. Don't rely on your sight. Don't rely on thinking it through. It's cloudy. It's windy. It's rainy. It's going to happen. God says it's going to take place, but it was a little thing to the Lord. It's a little thing. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care how big your problem is this morning. It is a little thing to the Lord. I don't care how heavy it is weighing on your shoulders to the Lord. It's a light thing this morning. I'm going to tell you, he that made the heavens and the earth, it is but a little thing. It's a light thing in the eyes of God. Jeremiah 32, he said it this way. I love what he said. Ah, Lord God, behold, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Stretch out your arm. There is nothing what? There's nothing too hard for you. Look, next scripture. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too what? Hard for me. Look what he said in Mark 10. He said, Jesus, looking on them, said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, what? All things are possible. Your mind may not tell you that. Your mind may not have all the facts and figures. Your mind may not be able to logically put it all together how God is ever going to bring this thing to pass. And yet God says, don't, if you don't see the rain, you don't see the wind, you don't see the clouds, you don't hear, you don't feel moist. You know, sometimes you're out in the field and you just know it's about to rain. But God said, I'm going to give you a time when your mind tells you it's dry as a bone, but the ditches are going to be full of water. Come on, somebody. God, do that in your life. Now, Hebrews 4, listen to this. Hebrews 4 says it this way. One of the problems with not praying as you're reading the word is you only get dry word. You only get word that is not mixed with faith. Because the word, a seed that is planted has to have water or it does no good. Without moisture, the seed that is planted dies. But when a seed is planted, it needs moisture, it needs water, it needs rain. When you read the Word of God will do you no good unless it's watered, unless it's moisture. And that happens during times of worship and praise before the Lord. Worship is not something we do to get you warmed up so I can preach to you. Worship is preparing the ground. Worship is bringing the rain. Worship is bringing it to a point where moisture now is mixed with what you hear. That's why it says, to us was the gospel preached as well as to them. But the word preached did not profit them because not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So what happens is there is an absolute need of you not becoming mental only, but the word of God that's planted in you gets watered by prayer and worship. The word that's planted in you becomes alive. It's mixed with prayer and worship. Believe the facts. And what happens is you just literally begin to be mentally, or your mind takes over control. And all the decisions of your life is made by your mind. I don't know how you make decisions. If all of your decisions is practical, if all your decisions you make is with your mind, you've missed a great portion of exciting life with God. Because there will be times in your life when God will tell you to do things that your mind will tell you absolutely not. I don't know why you're doing that. I don't know what. It makes no sense. Sell what? Do that. Give up this. Do that. Don't move that. Don't take that. Yes, take that. There'll be times when God will tell you things to do that literally your mind will absolutely abhor it. Your mind will absolutely reject it. Your mind, if all you do is every day of your life, get up and you're making every decision of your life with your mind, then you've missed what it means to walk in the Spirit of God. You've missed what it means to walk with God. Because God will come in at times and without any help to your mind tell you to do something or not do something. He will tell you what he's going to do or not do. He'll inform you. He'll tell you. In Mark chapter 5, it's the story of a woman who renews her mind because she had made all these decisions all her life with her mind. She'd been sick most of her life, and she'd made one mental decision after another. Okay, there's a doctor over here, there's a doctor there, there's a doctor here, there's a doc there, there's medical practice here, there's this and this. And she'd made all these things with her mind. And finally, she comes to where she renews her mind, and her mind tells her something to do, and she made up her mind, and she did right. Now, watch this. She had suffered many things and many physicians. She made all these decisions, spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said in her mind, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And literally after she touched him, she had been bleeding all these years. And you need to know this. Jesus began to talk to her. Look at verse 30 now. Go on next one. Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Disciples said, you see the multitude. Everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched me? And he looked around to see her that had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, daughter, what? What's the next word? Not your mama's. Not your daddy's. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith. your faith. Notice, she moved out of just mental in her mind. And Jesus says, you started operating. You've been making all these mental decisions all these years. You've gone to one thing after another. Now you've stepped out of mental decisions only. And you've mixed what you believe with faith. And now you're beginning to move in faith. Because, I mean, all these doctors had done all these things to her. And now she, somewhere in her heart of hearts, had felt, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. What medical proof is there? What does that have to do? Who ever done that before? There'd been no teaching about it. If you touch somebody's clothes, everything would be fine. Somewhere God had whispered this to her. And instead of making every decision based on mental knowledge, she now moves into the realm of faith. And with her mind, she makes her mind agree. And she tells her mind, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she begins to operate now. She begins to make some decisions on faith rather than just mental, just her mind making decisions. And the Bible says Jesus turned around and looked at her and said, who's touched me? Everybody say your faith, would you? Your faith, not somebody else's, your faith. Now, Hebrews 11 says this, and I want you to listen very carefully. Hebrews 11 says this, but without faith, it is almost impossible to please him. What does it say? Without faith, now watch this, it is impossible to please God. That tells me, if I live my life like all the other unbelievers, making every decision of my life mental, then I am not pleasing God in my life. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Doesn't say it's likely, it's almost. He said it's absolutely impossible. Let me put a few things in perspective today about pleasing God. Because we have all these ideas about what it takes to please God. I don't think you ought to smoke. Don't think you ought to smoke cigarettes. I don't think it. Let me get in trouble. But listen, that's not what pleases God. I don't know about you. I feel sorry for cigarettes. Can you imagine? They got a fire on one end, a fool on the other one. They're getting it from both the ends. Come on, somebody. I don't think you ought to drink. I won't go into all that big deal, but I don't think you ought to get drunk. Let me say it that way. I don't think, you know what? It makes you stupid and do dumb things. Proverbs says, when you're drunk, you get hit, and next thing you know, you think, who hit me? You know, you don't know who hit you. But that's not what pleases God. I don't think you ought to gamble. You got about as much luck as winning as getting struck by lightning. Some of you ought to be. Come on, somebody. That's not what pleases God. I don't think you ought to cuss. I'm trying to stop myself. No, I don't think you ought to cuss. makes you socially, you know, just an embarrassment socially. But that's not what pleases God. That's not what pleases God. What pleases God is that you trust him and believe him. What pleases God is when you operate in faith. In my life, I have seen guys and women that I thought lacked some of these other things, and yet God blesses them because they're bold in faith. That's why the Apostle Peter, you look at him and say, but he wouldn't have been the one I'd picked to lead the group, but he was bold in faith. He said, he spoke out, he did things. And the Bible says it is impossible, but with faith it is possible to please him. It doesn't do you any good to be drug free, alcohol free, curse free, gambling free, and be full of doubt and fear and unbelief. God's not looking for a squeaky clean person. He's looking for somebody that will believe him and trust him. Come on, give him a good clap offer. That'd be good right there. Come on. Now, here's where the renewing of your mind comes in. Your mind, if you're going to make faith great, if you're going to really please God, you have to deal with your mind. Your mind is the battleground. Your mind is the gate. Your mind is the place where you need to do it. I want to tell you, your mind doesn't like your faith. This is the unrenewed mind. The unrenewed mind does not like this. Your mind will gobble up all your joy, your faith, your love for God. It will gobble all that stuff up. An unrenewed mind. Worry, fretting, doubting, fearing, being depressed, full of it. Listen, all that stuff is part of your mind. And all that stuff will not go into eternity. How many know there's none of that stuff in eternity? All that stuff is not going with you into eternity. But your mind is full of good ideas, not necessarily God ideas. And that's where you need to understand that if you have an unrenewed mind, if you're making all your decisions with your children, with your family, finances, your future, if you're making all of those decisions only with your mind and you've not renewed it, you're no different than the common person on the street. You're not walking in the Spirit as He is. You're not walking in the, not being led by the Spirit. Your natural mind is desperate for facts and figures and formulas and principles and schedules and reasons and remedies. I'm not arguing against any of that. I'm only arguing against an unrenewed mind, how it operates. Because there are seasons when God does not want us. Your mind only wants what it understands. And it edits out anything it cannot understand. You got to learn how to doubt your doubts sometimes. Sometimes your mind will always bring the doubt. Can there really be ditches full of water with no rain and no wind and no clouds? Can God really do this? You know, it's funny how we give our doubts full sway without making them prove themselves, but then we doubt our faith many times and make it prove itself. You got to come to a place where you understand that doubt and fear. Romans 8 says it this way. Your mind always leaves God out of the formula. For to be carnally, what? Be carnally minded. Here's that mind. Be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind, not this, is at enmity against God. If you do not renew your mind will be at enmity against what God says for you to do and say. Your mind will come up and it will put up all these reasonable things of why not. It's enmity against God. For it's not subject, not this. It is not subject. An unrenewed mind is a wild beast. An unrenewed mind is an animal that's not been broken. It's carnal, it's enmity, for it's not subject. That means it's not tame. It's not ruled by the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. You're not going to harness a carnal mind and make it obey God and work with God. It's at enmity with God. Your unrenewed mind is enmity with God, and it cannot be controlled by the laws of God. It doesn't give into that. It doesn't buy into the laws of God, and it cannot be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please. Why is that? Because the only ones who can please God are those with faith. Because when you're carnally minded, all you're doing is walking, making decisions by your mind and your mind only, and you're not pleasing to God. You might be squeaky clean, but you're not pleasing to God. That's why it says in Romans 12, it says this, renew your mind. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing. Don't ever stop renewing your mind, because your mind will reject or always reflect back or go back to the way it always was. Now, let me give you the picture of your mind. When we were little, we raised pigs. Anybody else in here raised pigs? Anybody else had the joy of your life of raising pigs? We raised pigs when we were little. And one time we got a little pig, and it got out. And for over a month, we chased that pig. My dad chased that pig over and over. Neighbors would call, we've got your pig. It's in the barn. Come down and get your pig. Dad come down there. They'd open the barn door. The pig would be gone. I mean, for 1 month, we chased this pig. And one time, I told the funniest story ever. So I looked down. We were looking out the window. And there was Dad he had a big old a fish net. And the little pig was running in front of him, and he was running after the pig, and behind Dad was a bull. Boom, 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 boom. A month later, we caught him. And that pig, after we caught him, we brought him back, and we ate him. He got about 250 pounds, and we killed him. We ate him. He was a delicious pig. And, you know, all that. But let me tell you what you do. Here, let me give you a picture. Every time I think of growing those pigs, we used to go down there as kids and play with pigs and all this. Let me give you a picture of your mind. Here's a picture of your mind. Go find a 250-pound sow. Go in there. She's usually about 2 feet, 3 feet, laying in mud. Just laying in the mud, rolling in the mud. Go out there, grab her by the ears, pull her out, take her down to the local car wash, put a couple quarters in there, wash her off real good, wash the mud off. Then take her, put her car. Take her over to Men's Warehouse or Bridal Boutique. Get her a nice dress. Get her, I mean, really, go over there to one of those purple places. Get her some earrings that match and all that kind of stuff, you know, on Perkins Row. Get her matches. Get her earring. Get her a good night. Get her a nice nose ring. Put it in there, you know, Paul. Take her home with you. Put her at the table. Go get her some. Put her at the table. Give her a plate. Put a fork in one, Paul. Put a knife in the other. Put some mashed potatoes and roast beef right there, right in front of her. And then the Avon lady rings the doorbell. You walk over there and you answer the door. Before you get to the door, guess where that pig is? That pig's done jumped through the window. She's back in about 3 feet of mud. Water. You know why? Because she's a pig. Let me tell you about your mind. That is a picture of your mind. That's a Christian with a carnal mind. Your mind is not subject to the laws of God. Is it enmity? Nor can it be. You ever had your mind wander? Where does your mind wander usually? To godliness? To the promised land? Absolutely. It goes to nasty land. Come on, somebody. It don't go to the promised land. It wanders to nasty land. You know why? Because if you leave your mind unattended, it will always go back to Egypt every time. It'll jump out the window. It'll go back to the 3 feet of mud, and it'll wallow itself in the mud if you leave your mind unattended. I can see you're loving this example real great. Come on, somebody. 2 Corinthians 10 says it this way. It says, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every what? You gotta capture those thoughts of your mind. Because why? Because your mind is heading toward the pig pen every time. It's heading back toward carnality. It's heading back toward all this. You've got to take into captivity every thought, because if you let it loose, it's gonna hop right back into slop land. Jeremiah 17 says about our hearts this way. It says, it's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searches the heart. I try the way and give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You've got to understand that you've got to deal with your heart. Oh, verse 10. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to what? To what? You've got to listen. You've got to learn how to deal with your heart. One of the worst peoples in the world is to talk to is yourself sometimes. Because if you let your unrenewed mind talk to you, it's going to tell you things that's going to get you in trouble. It's going to take you back to the slop. It's going to take you back to all the junk you got out of. And it will be, you've got to learn how to doubt, how to deal with your doubts and all that. But notice this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Go back to this one if you would. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. Everybody say lean. There's a saying I love to say, Lord, prop me up on every leaning side. You know what the Bible says? Lean not to your understanding. That's your mind. An unrenewed mind, you don't lean on that. That's not what you're leaning. Lean not. Listen, if you're leaning towards something, that means you're leaning away from something else. I don't know about you. When I grew up in the country, you used to climb a lot of fences. One of the hardest fences to climb is a fence leaning towards you. You ever tried to climb a fence leaning towards you? It's a hard fence to climb. One time, Ray and Anita Sims, one of the weddings I did, and you ought to have seen this. They did this wedding, and it was rainbow because every gown was a different color. You ever been to a wedding like that? Every gown was a different color in the wedding. And Anita was very, very shy. And when I said, you may now kiss the bride, he leaned in, she leaned back. Come on, somebody. How many know it's hard to smooch somebody that's leaning back from you? After the third try, I said, I think y'all can do that later. Go on, if you want to do that. Yeah, how many know it's hard for Jesus to smooch you if you're leaning toward your own understanding? He wants to love you, but if you're leaning to your own understanding, guess where you're leaning from? You're leaning away from trust in the Lord. You're leaning on your own understanding. That means you're leaning away from trust in the Lord. You've got to come to a place where you do not lean on your own understanding. You've got to watch on it, but it produces all that it produces. Isaiah 26 and 3 says this. It says, he will keep him in perfect peace. Who's what? Whose mind whose mind is stayed on thee. You need to keep your mind on the things of the Lord. Keeping your mind stayed on the Lord will be perfect peace. But let your mind wander, and you're going to come. Listen, you're going to have a phobia come to you with a zip code somewhere near you. You're going to have all these phobias. You're going to be fearful about this. You're going to be fearful about that. You're going to worry about this. You're going to worry about that. You're going to be upset with this and upset. All peace leaves when you begin to lean to your own understanding only. If you've not renewed your mind and you've got a carnal mind and you lean toward that, every phobia in the book is going to come your way. I don't know how many phobias there are, but there's a bunch of them, and you're going to have one coming right toward you. Listen, you've got to listen. Faith is central. There is no option. You must have faith to please God. Without faith, a Christian will live a life just like the co-worker that's not even saved. Now, Mark 5, it says this woman was leaking blood. She was literally bleeding day by day. And Deuteronomy tells us that only be sure that you eat not the blood, for the blood is the life. And this woman, I can see her because she literally is leaking life. She's living her life, and she's leaking her life. She's growing weaker and weaker with the loss of blood. And spiritually, people are doing that. You may be saved. You may be. She was a Jew. She was of the tribe. She was of the commonwealth of Abraham. She believed in God. And yet she was growing weaker because she was leaking blood. And there are Christians who love the Lord, but you're leaking life every day. You're leaking life. You're leaking life. You're growing weaker. And what happens is this: you've got to come to a place where you leak. You stop the leaking. You stop the mental decision. You stop living life just out of your own understanding. And you let faith become a part of your life, where you stop leaning only on your understanding and you start leaning on the trust in the Lord. Come on, somebody. And what happens is the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and He will tell you to do something that seems absolutely, how is that going to fix anything? And yet something in your heart is going to be renewed, and you'll say, you know, I've made all this decision with that physician and that physician and that way to deal with it and that way to deal with it. But you know what? Something inside me says, if I can but touch the hem of His garment. And Jesus classified that wasn't a mental decision. That was your faith. That was faith coming alive. You stopped leaning on your own understanding, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to you, and you began to trust and lean on the trust of the Lord. Come on, somebody. God's going to do that in your life. What's needed is faith. Your faith needs to become. Faith demands action. And that's one of the things I've learned to say, but Pastor, it's so bad. Listen, whining never did anything. Whining will not change your situation. Faith does not give you a pillow so you can still lay by the pool. Faith demands you get up and take up your bed and walk. Come on, somebody. See, faith will begin to bring it into action. Faith will begin to do. Faith, you can never allow your soul and your body to dictate to your faith. Belief is not enough. You need action in your life. Look what James says. You believe there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe. Watch this. The devils have faith. They believe so much it causes them to react. They tremble. There's no doubt the devils believe. And the Bible says they tremble. Listen, you need to let your faith bring you to a place where you literally have faith to act and do what God said. A devil can literally, when he believes, he reacts. You've got to act on what you've got to do. Do something. Faith tells us that all things are possible. Faith causes me to feel that I'm no longer a victim. I can be used of God. I can do it. Now, 1 John 4:4 says it this way. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Sometimes he that's in the world tries to come inside you. Now get this. Sometimes he that's in the world knocks on your door. Now, I want you to listen to this very carefully. Here's how it works at my house. This is how it works at my house. You can come over to my house, and you can have a cigarette in your mouth, and you can smoke all around my house. I don't care. You can come out and smoke in the driveway. You can smoke. Put that thing. You can turn your little nose up. Your nose ought to be turned up. We'll make a smokestack out of it. You can smoke in my driveway. You can smoke in my backyard. But guess where you can't smoke? You can't come in my door, because I ain't going to allow you in my door. We were just building a house, and I was adding on back there, and I walked in there, and there was a guy in there smoking. And, you know, it wasn't open. It wasn't I said, hey, would you mind getting that cigarette out of here? The roof wasn't even on yet. Come on, somebody. I said, but you can't smoke in my place. You know why? Because I'm the gatekeeper of my house. One day we were taking the kids to school. I mean, we opened the door. A dog was sitting. Somebody's dog was outside our door. Ran right in our thing and ran right down the hallway of our house. They called me from the school back here. There's a pack of wild dogs in our school. We went back there. It was little hunting dogs. There were little bit dogs that come out of the woods back there and come through the school. But, you know, they didn't get to stay there long. You know, the Great Wall of China was built because China was afraid of the enemies from the north. And they built this humongous wall. It was thick. You could ride on the top of it. It was so thick. It was tall. And you could not bust through. It was humongous. Now watch this. The first 100 years of the existence of that wall, the first 100 years, China was invaded 3 times. Guess how they got in? All 3 times they bribed the gatekeepers. Only way the devil will get in your life is if you don't have a gate where you stop him. Listen, you are the gatekeeper. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. But that he that's in the world is going to come knocking on your door. And if you have not renewed your mind does not have a gate on it. One time I used to work for the highway department, and we were building LA1 down in White Castle and all that area. And I remember this. We had them big old signs. We were way down one part of LA1, and we had these big signs because we had a lot of equipment down there. We said, no 18-wheelers. And we were about a mile and a half to 2 miles down LA1 at this place, and there was no roads in or out. And we were about half a day, and somewhere about half a day, we heard this. Here comes an 18-wheeler down right near us. My boss made that guy back up a mile and a half. He backed that 18-wheeler up. You know why? Because he was the gatekeeper. Some of you need to back up some thoughts coming into your mind. You need to take control over your mind and become the gatekeeper where there is a stop sign, no admittance. I'm going to tell you, there's some foods I love. I used to be so picky. And when I used to go eat with people, they used to ask other people, what does he like to eat? Hot dogs. Okay, we'll cook him a hot dog. And I like, tuna fish. But, and when I got married, I mean, my as you can tell, my appetite has expanded. I love a lot of Armenian food. But there is one Armenian food I will not eat. It's the grass out of the, they take grass and they call it parsley and they mix some other stuff with it. And it's like grass. It's like eating grass. It's called tabbouleh. And you know what? Guess what? I'm the gatekeeper of my mouth. There is one food that ain't going in this mouth right here. It's called tabbouleh. It ain't heading that way. But you got to do the same thing with your mind. You come to a place where you literally are going to be the gatekeeper. You're the gate. My spirit. You've got to learn this. Your spirit needs to be the gatekeeper of your life. If you let your mind be the gatekeeper, it decides what is or isn't right. You need to let your spirit be the gatekeeper of your life. You're three parts now, your body, soul, and spirit. And you need to allow your spirit to be the gatekeeper of what is going to allow in your life or not allow in your life. You must make only your gatekeeper. You don't let your mind, your soul, your mind says, come on in. When fear comes knocking on your door, your mind says, come on in. When lust comes knocking on your door, your body says, come on in. Welcome. Make yourself at home. Bring all your nasty buddies with you too. Bring anxiety. Bring depression. Bring all your nasty buddies with you. Y'all have a party. Your body and your soul, if they are the gatekeeper of your life, that's what's going to happen to you. But if your spirit is the gatekeeper, even if it gets in, it's going to make them back up a mile and a half to get back out of your life. If you let your spirit be the gatekeeper of your life, it will deal with all that stuff. Mark chapter 5 and verse 34, he said this again. He said, daughter, your faith, everybody say your. Not your mama's, not your daddy's, your faith. Here's the principle. She participated in her own miracle. Can't nobody do that but you. What's on your cotton picking mind this morning? How are you dealing with it? Nobody else can choose this for you. It's your faith. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're in school. I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy. I don't care whoever it is. It is your faith. If you're married or single, your faith will decide what you let in your life. Your spirit, if it becomes the gatekeeper, it will deal with it. And you got to learn that. You've got to deal with what's happening, what's coming in your life. In Mark chapter 5, one more time, the day came in Mark 5 that the crowds, I want you to think about this. I want musicians come on up. I'm about finished. The Bible says everybody was around him. They were all touching him. They were all crowding in on him. But only one person opened up the gate. Only one person was walking in faith that touched him, that received it. Only one person received from the Lord. Only one person received. All the other people were standing there, but only one person got what needed. And the Bible says, listen, can you imagine? All the rest of them were, even some of them were disciples. All the rest of them loved the Lord. All of them were Christians, all are Jewish believers. All of them were crowding around, but nobody was working their faith that day except one little woman. And this one little woman had stopped making mental decisions only, and she began to rely on, what did the Holy Spirit say to me? Oh, I know, I've got it. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And the Bible says Jesus felt the power go out of him. And he looked at her and he says, your faith. You've been making a lot of mental decisions and trying to get well, but now you've swapped over from a carnal mindset, and now you're going to get life and peace. You've been leaking life. You've been leaking blood all these years. You've been leaking life all these years. But now you're going to change. Let me tell you something. There's some of you in here. You love Jesus. You come walking with the Lord. But you're living just like your coworker, your neighbor. You're living just like your mama, your daddy. You're just making decisions. You're just walking mentally in your life. You're not walking by the Holy Spirit. You're not walking in the Spirit. You're not being led by the Spirit even. You know what happens is, when you are led by the Spirit, it is life and peace. When your mind is renewed and it's stayed upon the Lord, the Bible says with that is peace and life. You begin to stop leaking it and you begin to live it. You begin to understand that, listen, there are some things going to happen that it may seem huge to you and heavy to you, but it's a light thing to God. And then you begin to trust him. And then you say, you know what? I'm just going to trust you, Lord. I want to know, what are you telling me to do? I know what my mind is saying I ought to do right now, but you're telling me to do this? I read the word this morning, Lord, and now I'm praying and worshiping you, and now it's being watered. And now instead of just being dead letters, it's becoming life. And it's turning from just knowledge to faith. It's turning from knowledge to something that's going to be pleasing to you, because without it, it's impossible to please you. Oh, I thought I was trying to get squeaky clean to be pleasing to you. But tell you something, all that stuff will take care of itself when you begin to walk in faith. You're going to reach out in faith in your life. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to ask if I had whoever's closest to you, if I were to interview them and I asked them this question, Does that person, and name your name, do they walk in faith, or they walk more just they make all these mental decisions? Everything is logically, everything is just by mental. And we don't become stupid. We don't throw our mind away, but we renew our mind. We'll talk about that later. I'm not making a case for stupidity and never using your mind. Absolutely not. I'm just making a case for you having the mind of Christ and not your own carnal mind dictating you. We'll talk about that later. But what happens is this. If I interviewed them, I said, how do they make their decisions? What's their life? How do they make their decisions in their life? They just think it through and then come up with it. Or do they really lean upon the Lord? Or do they lean upon their own understanding? Are they leaning? Which way do they lean mostly? They lean on their own understanding all the time, or are they leaning on the Lord? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I just love you today. Lord, I'm walking this way. If you want me to go a different way, Lord. You know, what I've learned in my life is I really do have a sanctified mind, the mind of Christ. And I do pray about it, and I leave it, and I make a course of action. But I always leave it open. I say, now, Lord, if you want to change my direction, Lord, just tell me. Lord, just impress me. Lead me, God. Do something. Lord, you be the one to do it, Lord. I want to be sensitive to you, that if you're changing me, you're making me go, Lord, I want to do that. As many are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God. I'll never forget one time there was, During World War II, there was a massive bomber called Lady Be Good. That was they named it, this bomber, Lady Be Good. And on one of the, they'd run many, many missions, and their very last mission, it turned out to be, though it wouldn't have been, but it ended up being their last mission. They had done a bombing run and over the enemy lines, and it was a very cloudy day, and it had been raining, and they were up above the clouds, and their instruments had kind of brought them in, and they came down low enough to drop the bombs, and went up back above the cloud protection, and they began to fly back across the enemy lines. And what they didn't know was that they had picked up a strong tailwind. They had no idea that it had happened, and this tailwind had pushed them a lot faster and further than what they'd realized. But their instruments were right. Their instruments told them when they got back across the enemy lines that they needed to drop down and land, because if they went too far, it was just desert beyond that. And but what they did was they just had a gut feeling that it was too fast, it was too quick, it had taken a lot longer to get there than come back. And they looked at their watches and they determined that, you know, it had taken a lot longer to go there than come back. And they had a decision to make. Would they believe their watches and their gut feeling, or would they believe the instruments? And ultimately they finally said, you know, there must be something wrong with the instruments. And they went further and they died in the desert. The plane ran out of fuel, and they didn't understand they'd picked up a tailwind. I'm going to tell you what life is like. Life is like that, because you're going to have your gut feeling and you're going to have your own carnal mind is going to tell you what to do, not to do. But then you've got the instrument, the Word of the living God, that's going to tell you. You're going to have the Spirit of God that's going to direct you and come in your life at times and speak to you words to do this and do that. And you've got to come to where you learn to depend on the Lord. You learn to do what the Lord tells you to do. You learn to be dependent upon the Lord. I want everybody to stand up here this morning. I want you to close your eyes. Keep your eyes closed just for a minute. Go ahead, Nick, and lead us in a song. I want you to listen. As we worship right now, I want the Lord to just water the word that you just got. We just cried, Lord, send the rain. We asked it. I want you to let the Lord begin to work on your life. I want the Lord to do in your life whatever. All right? Go ahead, lead us. I lean not on. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Close your eyes one more time. Here's what we're going to do. This week, when you are feeling blue, tomorrow, if you have that blue Monday, I want you to ask yourself, am I leaning toward my understanding or am I leaning toward Jesus? When you're giving in to whatever it may be this week and you're feeling depressed or fearful, lustful, anger, I want to ask you, are you being the gatekeeper of your life? You need to let your spirit come up and shut the door. Make them back up. Get out of there. Greater is he that's in you than he that's trying to get out of the world into you. Get that out of your life. Yeah, deal with that. Let the door be closed. You become the gatekeeper. And you listen. You know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start the word I got. I'm going to have it watered by prayer. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to pray over it. I'm going to worship it. Just right now, what we did was we just took the word we'd heard. We began to sing it. And what happens is it begins to grow from knowledge to wisdom. It begins to go from knowledge to faith. Just words you read to faith. And this week, if you'll just begin to worship, you begin to pray over that. Just take that one Proverbs 3. Just take that one sentence. Lean not to my own understandings, but trust in the Lord with all my heart. And this week, just take that word. Let it begin alive to you. Just begin to pray over it during the mornings. In the day when you're fighting the fear, in the day when that is coming back on you, begin to say, no, I'm not. I'm going to please God today. I'm going to walk in faith because I'm going to believe what the Lord says. I'm not going to believe what my mind says, my feelings say, my emotions say. I'm going to be pleasing to the Lord today. I thought it was not smoking, cussing, drinking, gambling. I thought that's how I was really pleasing. You know what? No, pleasing is walking in faith before God. Walking in faith before the Lord, believing what God said. That pleases God. That's what is impossible without that, to please Him. And so this week I want you to lean toward trusting in the Lord. Lean away from your own understanding at times. Lean away from all the facts and figures only, and begin to renew your mind this way. Begin to let the Word of God dwell in you richly, with all strength, with all faith, with all that growing up out of you. And all those things begin to make a difference in your life. Father, today I ask you, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Lord, we want to be pleasing in your sight. We want to be bold in faith. We want to lean not to our own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all our hearts. I pray a blessing over this people this day. I ask you, Lord, to anoint them. Let the word of God come alive during their prayer time and worship time. I pray the word that they would read would be mixed with faith, that it would profit them and do them good. I pray, oh God, that you would do a work in our life in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Give Lord a good clap offering if you would. Turn around and give somebody a good high five if you would in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday.
I will climb this mountain with my hands wide.